The House will be in order. The Chair recognizes the Sergeant-at-Arms.
Mr. Speaker, the House Committee has returned and is ready to report.
The Chair recognizes the lady from Black Hawk, Representative Salmon.
Mr. Speaker, the committee to notify the Senate that the House is ready to receive it in joint convention has completed its duty.
Thank you. The report is received and the committee is discharged. The Chair recognizes the Sergeant-at-Arms.
Mr. Speaker, the President of the Senate, the Secretary of the Senate, and the honorable members of the Senate have arrived in the House chamber.
You will escort the President of the Senate to his speaker station, the Secretary to the Chief Clerk station, and the Senators will be seated amongst their respective representatives.
The joint convention will be in order. The chair recognizes the senator from Polk, Senator Whitfer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move that the roll call be dispensed with and that the president be authorized to declare a quorum present.
You've heard the motion of the senator from Polk, Senator Whitfer. All those in favor say yay.
Aye.
The yeas clearly have it. Those opposed say, well, I won't even ask for the noes. The motion prevails. The chair declares a quorum present and the joint convention duly organized. The chair recognizes the senator from Polk, Senator Whitfer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move that a committee of six, 3 members from the Senate and 3 members from the House, be appointed to escort Governor Kim Reynolds to the House chamber.
You've heard the motion of the senator from Polk, Senator Whitfer. Those in favor say yay.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. The motion prevails, and the chair announces the appointment of the senator from Benton, Senator Kapoutsian, the senator from Wayne, Senator Sinclair, and the senator from Lynn, Senator Mathis, on the part of the Senate, the representative from Green, Representative Thompson, the representative from Dubuque, Representative Lundgren, and the representative from Dallas, Representative Judge, on the part of the House. Will the committee retire and perform its duty? The chair recognizes the senator from Polk, Senator Whitfer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move that a committee of six, 3 members from the Senate and 3 members from the House be appointed to notify the Major General of the Iowa National Guard, Benjamin Carroll. The joint convention is ready to receive him.
You've heard the motion of the senator from Polk, Senator Whitfer. All those in favor say yay.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. The motion prevails, and the chair announces the appointment of the senator from Pottawatomie, Senator Dawson, the senator from Clayton, Senator Breitbach, and the senator from Henry, Senator Taylor, on the part of the Senate, the representative from Buena Vista, Worthen, the representative from Ringgold, Representative Dolachek, and the representative from Lee, Representative Kurtz, on the part of the House. Will the committee retire and perform its duty? The chair recognizes the Sergeant-at-Arms.
Mr. President, the Executive Council and the Attorney General have arrived in the House chamber.
Please escort the members of the Executive Council and Attorney General Miller to their seats. Chamber will be at ease while we await the arrival of the Lieutenant Governor. Chair recognizes the Sergeant-at-Arms.
Mr. President, Lieutenant Governor Adam Gregg has arrived in the House chamber.
Please escort Lieutenant Governor Gregg to his seat. Chair recognizes the Sergeant-at-Arms.
Mr. President, Major General Correll's family have arrived in the House chamber.
Please escort Major General Correll's family to their seats. Chair recognizes the Sergeant-at-Arms.
Mr. President, your committee to escort Governor Kim Reynolds has arrived.
The committee will escort the Honorable Kim Reynolds to the rostrum. Chair recognizes the Sergeant-at-Arms.
Mr. President, your committee to notify and escort Major General Benjamin Correll has arrived.
The committee will escort Major General Benjamin Correll, Adjutant General of the Iowa National Guard, to the rostrum. It is my pleasure to introduce Major General Benjamin Correll, Adjutant General of the Iowa National Guard. General Correll is here to present the condition of the Iowa National Guard address.
Thank you. President Schneider, Speaker Grassley, Governor Reynolds, Lieutenant Governor Gregg, distinguished members of the Iowa General Assembly, state officials, friends, family, and my fellow Iowans, good morning and thank you for allowing me this opportunity to provide you an update on the Iowa National Guard. I am honored and humbled to be here today representing the nearly 9,000 members of the Iowa National Guard. As the newly appointed Adjutant General, this is my first opportunity to stand before you, introduce myself, and share my vision for the Iowa National Guard. A vision focused on remaining always ready to defend our country and come to the aid of Iowans in their time of need. I realize as I stand at this podium for the first time, many of you don't know me. Let me share a little bit about myself. My journey began in the Northeast Iowa farming communities of Manchester, where I was born, and Strawberry Point, where I grew up. There I learned the values of hard work, respect for others, and the importance of honesty and integrity, pillars of what it is to be an Iowan. I was taught to value everyone for their individual contributions to the collective good of our community. I'm the proud grandson of a Marine combat veteran who fought for our nation in the Pacific Campaign during World War II. I'm the proud son whose father served in that same Marine Corps. I'm the proud father of three sons, all who are veterans of our recent conflicts overseas. First Sergeant Wade, Sergeant First Class Travis, Sergeant First Class Tyler Correll, all who serve as non-commissioned officers in the Iowa National Guard. 40 years ago, I married my high school sweetheart, Beth. She has stood by me and kept me grounded as we have made our way together on this journey. Beth and our three sons are here this morning. Please stand. I enlisted in the Iowa National Guard 34 years ago this month. I have spent most of my career as a traditional citizen soldier, balancing the demands of part-time military service with the full-time responsibilities of running the family fuel distribution business in Strawberry Point, and working in that community as a volunteer EMT, and also helping to raise our family. I originally enlisted in the Iowa National Guard for extra money and benefits. I have stayed because I find purpose and meaning in service above oneself. This is what has driven me throughout my more than three decades of military service and during my six overseas deployments. These experiences gave me true understanding of both the responsibility and the privilege to lead our men and women conducting combat operations or providing support to fellow Iowans in time of need. My previous deployments are where I experienced firsthand the true cost of armed conflict as we dealt with the reality of taking casualties and losing soldiers in combat. These experiences, along with the desire to set the conditions for future success of this unique organization, are what motivated me to accept the governor's request for me to lead the Iowa National Guard. I will use my experience and insights to move the Iowa National Guard forward, ensuring that it is always ready and can always meet the demands expected of us in an uncertain world. I stand here today because of the quality senior leaders who came before me, officers, non-commissioned officers alike, who have mentored me throughout my career. Leaders like Bud Lawson, Ron Dardis, and my immediate predecessor, Tim Orr, inspiring leaders who helped shape me into the leader I am today. Leaders whose vision delivered the Iowa National Guard to be one of the finest military organizations in our nation and a trusted resource for the citizens of Iowa. I am grateful for their leadership, their vision, and their service to our state and nation. The mantle of leadership has now been passed to me to shape and develop the next generations of leaders, those who will one day lead the Iowa National Guard into its third century of service to our state and nation and make sure that the Iowa National Guard is always ready. To do this, we have developed and are now implementing the Iowa National Guard Strategy 2028. This strategic plan will guide us over the next 8 years to ensure that we are prepared to mobilize, deploy, and execute diverse missions as part of the U.S. military or in support of the governor for the people of Iowa. In pursuit of this strategy, my goal is to be the most trusted organization in the state of Iowa. We will accomplish this through careful stewardship of the resources we are provided. We will keep fully focused on individual and unit readiness. We must ensure that we can always provide on-time and capable response options for all federal and state missions we are asked to perform. Our National Guard is a uniquely American institution. We are a locally based force from small and large communities across our state, yet we are a resource that has global reach. We exist to meet security needs, both here, at home, and abroad. This requires an agile and responsive organization filled with motivated and trained people, Iowans who are willing to serve for something bigger than themselves, capable of quickly adapting to uncertain future demands and requirements. The National Guard recruiting slogan from when I first joined stated, one weekend a month, 2 weeks a year. I assure you that has changed significantly over my career. I believe that the demand signal for our citizen soldiers will continue to remain high as we look to the future and assess global challenges that exist today. As a result, the individual and organizational requirements for all services and all components has increased as we posture our military to ensure our nation is prepared to defend our way of life and our nation's interests around the globe with an all-volunteer force. As a reserve component of our nation's military, these additional requirements put increased demands on our stakeholders, our service members, their families, and our employers. We must work hard to build and maintain trust in all that we do. It requires us to be a responsible stewards of our resources. This includes our people, our time to train, state and federal funding, and to continue to provide our Iowa National Guard units quality infrastructure across this state. The citizens of Iowa expect and depend on us to always be ready. To do so, we need teams that are fit, disciplined, and results-oriented. It's not enough just to be ready. We must also be able to respond with competent, proficient, and prepared military personnel wherever their mission takes them. This requires forward-thinking leaders, properly trained personnel, and adequate programs to care for our service members and their families when our forces are engaged in operations. We are at our best when we remember we are built on a foundation of integrity, individual moral conviction, and organizational character. This requires us to match our words to our actions, which must be consistent with our military values. Nationally, our defense strategy is changing as the United States refocuses on its ability to conduct large-scale combat operations against near-peer threats after decades being focused on counterinsurgency and counterterrorism operations. Yet, even as this rebalancing takes shape, we continue to deploy rotational force units in support of our strategic partners and maintain a presence in or near conflict-prone zones. To meet all these requirements, reserve components are increasingly relied upon by our nation to meet mission requirements abroad, as well as respond to natural and man-made disasters here at home. The strategic threats to our country are complex and diverse. China and Russia, great power competitors. They present security challenges across the full spectrum of national power, demonstrating an increasing ability to act with debilitating effects through both kinetic and non-kinetic means. Adversaries like Iran and North Korea continue to disrupt regional security and threaten our international interests and partners. As we work to ensure we remain ready to meet these evolving threats, there are certain realities that influence our actions in the Iowa National Guard. Strength readiness, keeping our positions filled with quality members, is a critical task that must be at the forefront of everything that we do. There are challenges in meeting our readiness goals as we compete with a robust job market. We face competitions from other services. We face competition from border state National Guards and out-of-state educational incentives. In order to succeed in this area, we must ensure that young Iowans who want to serve choose to remain in Iowa and be a part of the Iowa National Guard. Thanks to the funding that this legislative body has provided, we remain competitive with our state educational incentives for our members who do want to stay in the state and pursue their educational goals at Iowa colleges and universities. Equipment modernization must continue to accelerate across our military, including the National Guard. As peer threats and evolving technology expand across multiple fronts, including the cyber and space domains, in order to remain competitive in this evolving environment and best position the Iowa National Guard for future success, I have identified four lines of effort, four focus areas, that will focus our efforts and drive the Iowa National Guard's strategic objectives for the next 8 years. First, we must field a competent and ready force. Second, we must maintain the right force structure in Iowa. Third, we must develop and maintain sustainable infrastructure across this state. Lastly, we must take care of our service members, our employees, and our families. I'll elaborate on these lines of effort for you. We must remain focused on fielding a competent and ready force. This ensures our ability to support missions abroad and meet security requirements here in the homeland. Success in this area requires us to anticipate a future state and national requirements while developing plans that increase predictability for our members, our families, and our employers. I define success as achieving or exceeding all directed unit readiness objectives across our formations in the Iowa National Guard. These defined and measured benchmarks are reported and evaluated quarterly, giving us a clear and precise picture of the readiness of our organization. It's critical that we seek out and leverage opportunities that enhance our service members' military trained skills. We must develop new partnerships as we maintain the relationships that we already have with other state agencies and businesses across the state. We are proud of our established partnerships with sister departments within the state of Iowa and other community partners across the state. These partnerships are focused on STEM initiatives, specifically in the area of cybersecurity and cyber defense. With more than 100 different military specialties available in the Iowa National Guard, many of which fall into the STEM-related career fields, we contribute directly to the state's Future Ready Iowa initiative. Our 168 Cyber Defense Squadron, based out of the Des Moines Air Base, is on the front lines of cyber defense. This Iowa Guard unit is a prime example of a National Guard resource we use to collaborate with other state and federal partners, enhancing the state's election security efforts and protocols. These cyber initiatives also demonstrate how our state security mission is adapting and taking steps to defend against the evolving threats we face here at home. Being prepared to respond to floods, tornadoes, severe winter storms, and similar natural threats will remain the priority focus of our homeland response efforts. But thanks to partnerships with other state entities and businesses, our ability to quickly respond to emerging domestic threats will continue to improve. We must ensure we are prepared to provide Iowa National Guard units identified for federal mobilizations. Over the past years, the number of federal mobilizations have been relatively light for the Iowa National Guard. This will change over the course of the next 12 months, as a number of Iowa Army National Guard units will mobilize and deploy. Currently, we have about 100 members of the Iowa National Guard, soldiers and airmen, deployed. By this time next year, we expect to see over 2,000 Iowa National Guard members deployed overseas. They will be in support of operations in the European Command, the Central Command, and the Africa Command. This will be the largest number of our personnel deployed since 2011, involving nearly 30% of our Iowa Army National Guard force structure. Based on projections, these mobilizations will begin this May, they will continue through the summer, and we'll complete the mobilizations by early next year. Mission requirements can and do change, but this is what we're currently expecting. I recognize the challenges these deployments represent for our service members, their families, our employers, and our Iowa National Guard communities. We have always been fortunate here in Iowa to have incredible support from across this state. We are reassured by our previous experiences as the Iowa National Guard once again prepares to send soldiers and airmen into harm's way. We know that the people of Iowa, its elected leaders, and the institutions across this state will again step forward to support our men and women in uniform as we execute what our nation has asked us to do. As we prepare for large-scale overseas deployments, we continue to enhance our traditional response capability here at home. This past year, the Iowa Army National Guard aviation units began conducting search and rescue exercises with Iowa Task Force 1, a specialized urban search and rescue element. We continue to work hand-in-hand with the Iowa Department of Emergency Management and prepare for all aspects of support to the people of Iowa. In addition, I have committed to the governor that the Iowa National Guard is now and will always be ready to respond to the needs of the people of Iowa. We will not be late to need. We must ensure we have the right force structure in the Iowa National Guard. This means we have the right size and type of units stationed in the right location that are quickly able to respond when needed. This effort will complement our efforts as we seek to recruit a diversified force. one that truly reflects our communities and the current demographics of our state. This is a significant endeavor that requires a total team effort to achieve. It starts with efforts to retain high-quality soldiers and airmen who are currently serving in the Iowa National Guard. We must maintain emphasis on our recruiting programs. We must ensure that the Iowa National Guard continues to be the service of choice among Iowans seeking to serve their nation in uniform. To achieve success, we must improve our efforts in the recruitment of diverse Iowa citizens. Many of the diverse communities are unfamiliar with the benefits and opportunities of military service in the Iowa National Guard. We must highlight all that we have to offer, including financial support for post-secondary educational degree programs, along with skills training and leadership development. We have to demonstrate to our diverse communities that they are represented in leadership positions within the Iowa National Guard. This will be a long process with deliberate management efforts to grow the future leaders who are reflective of the changing demographics of our state. Just as critical to having the right force structure in place for the future is our ability to maintain and develop sustainable infrastructure. This means we must invest our limited financial resources now into our existing facilities that are in optimal locations as we identify future locations that offer strategic advantage as we posture ourselves for future success. We recognize the hard reality that we will need to divest ourselves of some legacy properties and infrastructure that is no longer sustainable to maintain. Facilities that are located where it has been proven that we can no longer recruit enough people from that local area to meet the manning requirements required to keep a facility open. We can no longer delay the inevitable. At some point very soon, we will start the process to close select Army National Guard facilities within the state that can no longer support the needs of the Iowa National Guard. We have initiated a careful and deliberate process to assess the future viability of all of our facilities measured against the needs of our future force structure requirements and the forecasted state demographic patterns. As we start this process, we will work closely with affected communities along with local and state leadership in a transparent process to minimize the impacts of any future facility closures. In April, we will dedicate our state-of-the-art Davenport Readiness Center, the newest military facility in the state. This $23 million federally funded project represents the culmination of many years of work to replace the historic but outdated Davenport Brady Street Armory, which was one of our oldest active facilities. This project was made possible through our great partnership with the Davenport Community School District. Thanks to this partnership, along with the support of state and federal resources, we have replaced an obsolete facility with a new modern facility that accommodates multiple units. This investment provides the necessary space to store and maintain equipment and supports the training requirements for the future of the Iowa National Guard. As we look to the future, we believe a readiness center located south of the Des Moines metro area will maximize opportunities presented by shifting demographics within the state. We are currently in discussions for a potential development of a multi-use facility between the Iowa National Guard and the city of West Des Moines. Completion of this project would posture the Iowa National Guard for future success and provide us with ready access to multiple interstate and state highway systems, as well as the proposed Des Moines Railroad Transfer Station, providing quick and streamlined response for the state emergencies and federal deployments. The most critical component of everything we do in the Iowa National Guard is taking care of our service members, our employees, and our families. Without our people, we do not exist. Military service places significant demands and stress on our members and their families. We separate them for days, weeks, and at times more than a year. We send them into harm's way with a mission to protect and defend all that we hold dear. They do so willingly because they believe in something greater than their own self-interest and find purpose and meaning in serving their state and nation. In return, we owe them an organizational culture that recognizes and values their individual contributions and sacrifices. We must continue to invest in programs and activities that increase our service members' safety, security, and resiliency. The Iowa National Guard is a reflection of our society and is not immune from the challenges we face in today's complex environment. Like all organizations made up of people, We must deal with disciplinary issues stemming from substance abuse, sexual harassment, and sexual misconduct. Left unchecked, these oftentimes interrelated problems can weaken an organization's morale and undermine its ability to accomplish its mission. I am committed to maintaining the trust of those that we serve and what is expected of us by our citizens. I hold everyone, leaders, soldiers, airmen, and our civilian employees alike, to a standard of conduct that represents a professional organization that cares about each other. Those that cross the line will be held accountable. Taking care of our service members also includes frank and open discussions about a national issue that impacts the military, including the Iowa National Guard, and that's the issue of suicide. This is just not a military or a National Guard issue. This is an issue within our society. Suicide is the ninth leading cause of death in Iowa. As a state, our statistics are higher than the national average. The Iowa National Guard is a family. We grieve any time we lose one of our own, and it's devastating when we learn it was by their own hand. I will spare no resource in educating our soldiers, airmen, and our families on prevention and intervention to ensure our service members get the help they need when they need it. As I close, I highlight for you the Iowa National Guard is among the oldest institutions in this state, first formed during territorial times. Over the last 181 years, thousands of Iowans have proudly served their state and our nation through service in the Iowa National Guard. The Iowa National Guard has always been there. We proudly stand today, always ready to respond. We must at all times remain worthy of the confidence bestowed on us by the people of Iowa. We will continue to work each and every day to earn and keep that trust. With your continued support and the support of Iowans everywhere, we are always ready, warriors, citizens, neighbors, working together to strengthen the future of Iowa. I can confirm to each of you today, the condition of the Iowa National Guard is strong. Thank you all very much for this opportunity.
Will the committee to escort the Major General please come forward and escort Major General Correll from the House Chamber. Will the committee to escort the governor please come forward and escort Governor Kim Reynolds from the House Chamber. The chair recognizes the representative from Harrison, Representative Winchell.
Mr. President, I move the joint convention be dissolved.
You've heard the motion of the representative from Harrison, Representative Winchell. All those in favor will say yay.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. Once again, the yays clearly have it. The motion prevails and the joint convention is dissolved.
The House will be in order. Introduction of bills.
House File 2023 by Jones and other, a bill for an act exempting the computation of individuals and corporate sales income tax broadband grants received by communication service providers and including effective date and retroactive applicability provisions.
First reading of the bill, it is now ready for commitment or amendment and referred to the Committee on Commerce.
House File 2024 by Hagenow, a bill for an act relating to the Iowa Educational Savings Plan Trust by permitting the use of funds for certain beneficiaries to attend out-of-state elementary or secondary schools and including retroactive applicability provisions.
First reading of the bill is now ready for commitment or amendment. Referred to the Committee on Education.
House File 2025 by M. Smith, a bill for an act relating to health professional practice requirements.
First reading of the bill is now ready for commitment or amendment. Referred to the Committee on Human Resources.
House File 2026 by Brink, a bill for an act relating to the requirement for physicians providing services at an ambulatory surgery center and providing penalties.
First reading of the bill is now ready for commitment or amendment. Referred to the Committee on Human Resources.
House File 2027 by Moore, a bill for an act relating to the provisions governing the licensure of electricians and electrical contractors.
First reading of the bill is now ready for commitment or amendment and referred to the Committee on State Government.
House File 2028 by Jones, a bill for an act providing for the insurance and display of one motor vehicle registration plate including by requiring a study of another means available to identify motor vehicle from the front and including transition provisions.
First reading of the bill is now ready for commitment or amendment and referred to the Committee on Transportation.
House File 2029 by Hagenow, a bill for an act relating to automobile insurance required for transportation network company drivers.
First reading of the bill is now ready for commitment or amendment referred to the Committee on Commerce.
House File 2030 by Wills, a bill for an act relating to public assistance program oversight and verification of income eligibility.
First reading of the bill is now ready for commitment or amendment referred to the Committee on Human Resources.
House File 2031 by Kerr, a bill for an act relating to the licensed health professional member of a local board of health.
First reading of the bill is now ready for commitment or amendment referred to the Committee on Human Resources.
House File 2032 by Fisher, a bill for an act requiring the use of lighted headlamp on motor vehicle at all times of operation, providing penalties and making penalties applicable.
First reading of the bill is now ready for commitment or amendment referred to the Committee on Transportation.
House File 2033 by Kerr, a bill for an act requiring a road or street to meet certain requirements prior to the transfer of judiciary from the jurisdiction from the Department of the Transportation to the County Board of Supervisors.
First reading of the bill is now ready for commitment or amendment referred to the Committee on Transportation.
House File 2034 by Losi, a bill for an act relating to special elections to fill vacant city, county, and school board offices.
First reading of the bill is now ready for commitment or amendment referred to the Committee on State Government.
House File 2035 by Zumba, a bill for an act relating to limits on compensation of county supervisors.
First reading of the bill is now ready for commitment or amendment referred to the Committee on State Government.
House File 2036 by Holt, a bill for an act allowing certain emergency medical care providers to obtain a professional permit to carry weapons.
First reading of the bill is now ready for commitment or amendment referred to the Committee on Public Safety.
House File 2037 by Wills, a bill for an act relating to lamp and clothing requirements for the operation of bicycles, providing penalties and making penalties applicable.
First reading of the bill is now ready for commitment or amendment referred to the Committee on Transportation.
House File 2038 by Salmon, a bill for an act providing for the exception of motor vehicle window tint limitation for persons with certain medical conditions.
First reading of the bill is now ready for commitment or amendment referred to the Committee on Transportation.
House File 2039 by Wolf, a bill for an act regarding the suspension of a person's driver's license for failure to pay a fine, penalty, surcharge, or court costs associated with a motor vehicle violation.
First reading of the bill is now ready for commitment or amendment referred to the Committee on Transportation.
House File 2040 by Wolf, a bill for an act relating to the overtaking and passing of bicycles by motor vehicle and making penalties applicable.
First reading of the bill is now ready for commitment or amendment referred to the Committee on Transportation. The chair recognizes the gentleman from Harrison, Representative Winchettle.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good morning, Mr. Speaker. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen of the House. Mr. Speaker, if there's no further business to come before the House, I move the House adjourn until Friday, January 17th at 8:30 a.m.
Is there further business to come before the House? Seeing none, you have all heard the motion from Representative from Harrison, Representative Winchettle. All those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it, and the House is adjourned.
For the attention of the body, Democrats will caucus at 9:50 in room 305. Democrats will caucus at 10:50, 305.